Welcome to the most listened to golf in the world, the Fairways of Life show, on air, online, and around the world. With the most candid interviews, unforgettable stories, taking you beyond the ropes. Here's your host, New York Times best-selling author and Golf Channel's Matt Adams.
Welcome into the Fairways of Life show, folks. Pleasure to have your company from wherever you are joining us around the globe. It is the PGA Show week. Today is demo day, so we will be out at Orange County National. In fact, it will be on Golf Channel as well. You can catch our coverage. I'll give you the air times and that coming up in just a little bit. But the photo you're seeing on your television screen right now, and I'll describe for those listening to the radio, is taken from the massive displays that are out in front of the Orange County Convention Center that's off International Drive in Orlando. Orange County National is off a highway called 429, but you can see what it looks like. Now, the photo that's up there now is actually taken from last year at the demo day, and it's a massive, massive, massive practice grounds. In fact, it's a huge circle. You can kind of see over that cameraman's shoulder some of the buildings and then some of the different, they're not really booths, they're more like the tents. You know, if you ever go to a demo day, that's set up, they have these tents that are pop-up tents. And then what's the intent of all of this? So that people have a chance to go out and actually hit and try the equipment before they come in here. And this kicks off tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., the doors open at the Orange County Convention Center. Look at the size of this place. You're talking about nearly a million square feet of space. Now, inside of the convention center, it becomes golf's ultimate city for a few days. And you can see the booths. I mean, look at the scale of these things. That picture with Titleist was in the background. Ping was in the foreground. Andrew, go ahead and throw that one up there too. See it? These booths are absolutely huge. Tens and tens of thousands of people will be here. It is for industry professionals. And they get a chance to see, in many cases, the full breadth and width of product lines that you otherwise would not be able to see. Even in fairness, even if your regional rep comes out, he can't put on a display the same way that they can be displayed inside of the Orange County Convention Center. And then the show itself is separated into sections. So you're going to have, you know, the equipment section. There's a huge indoor hitting area, by the way. They put nets at the far end of the convention center, and people are hitting there all day too. That's over by where the Golf Channel stage is set. But then you'll go into the accessories, and think about that. It's anything you could think of that's related to the game of golf. But you'll also find there the booths for travel destinations, which include Scotland as an example. It'll include Tourism Ireland and the Ireland booth, which we're really excited about visiting is again. And then you'll go into the apparel section, which is at the top of the PGA show, which you name the company, they're going to be there. And there's tons of apparel that is available. They have sections in the middle where they'll have new products displayed. They'll have a huge pickleball exhibition going on at this show as well. It's kind of a celebrity exhibition with that. So yesterday, the first day, right, of the PGA show week was the Irish Golf Day. And that was great fun. Had a chance to kind of reconnect with everybody that's involved in, call it the Irish golf trade. These are people that maybe are tour operators or their golf courses from in Ireland or their organizations such as Tourism Northern Ireland, Faltsha Ireland. Faltsha is the Irish word for welcome, or could be Tourism Ireland, which obviously acts globally. And they act on behalf of Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. I'm an ambassador for Tourism Ireland. So it was great fun to see everybody. Dominic was able to play golf in that tournament yesterday, which was cool, too. Had fun getting his reactions to the day that was and being a part of the big banquet and the prize givings and everything that was the Irish Golf Day. So thank you for everybody that was involved in that. Now, in today's show, I will tell you straight up that I will be going from here to the Orange County Convention Center and hosting Golf Channel's coverage. So we're going to start working pre-production there very, very quickly to when we would normally go off the air in the Fairways of Life show. So I am going to try to kind of plow through this show today so that we can run out to the Orange County Convention Center and start working on what we need to do over there. So really looking forward to all of it. It's a great week. It's an exciting week. In terms of how you can watch the coverage that I'll be hosting on Golf Channel, here is a look at it. Today, it will be on from 12 to 2. Now, when I say will be on, that will be a show called Golf Today, and they will be, to use the parlance of television, throwing it down to us at the demo day as part of the PGA show. So Tuesday, today, from 12 to 2, all these times are Eastern. Tomorrow will be inside of the Orange County Convention Center from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. Thursday from 10 a.m. to 12, and Friday from 10 a.m. to 12. Again, all these times are Eastern. Now, the Fairways of Life show will be working around that schedule. So tomorrow, from inside of the Orange County Convention Center, at our brand new stage there, which we're excited about, we'll be on the air from 9 until 10 a.m. Remember, Golf Channel's coming on at noon from the Convention Center. And then Thursday, we're working on the other side of Golf Channel's coverage. Golf Channel's coverage on Thursday is from 10 to 12. We'll be on from 12:30 to 1:30. Right? And I'll keep reminding you guys of these air times so you know when we're going to be on and where, et cetera. So really super excited about sharing all of that with you. Now, I promised you yesterday that you'd be hearing from Nick Dunlap. You will. I promised you yesterday that you'll be hearing from Lydia Ko, and you will. And we're going to feature a tribute to Jackie Burke Jr., who lived to the ripe age of 100 years old, actually only a few days before his 101st birthday, in an absolutely incredible life for this World Golf Hall of Famer and a guy that dedicated his life to the game of golf, save for the time that he spent as a Marine and dedicating his life to his service in the Second World War. It is really cool and really noble. As to Nick Dunlap and what this means, I mean, the if you had to boil it down to the short story on Nick, he is the first ever, think about that, in the centuries of history in the game of golf, he is the first ever to win a U.S. Junior Amateur, a U.S. Amateur, and a PGA Tour event while having amateur status. He's the first guy that's ever done that. He won the 2021 U.S. Junior Amateur. He won the U.S. Amateur in 2023. I'm going to talk to you about his 2023 season in just a second because it was remarkable. He won, of course, the PGA Tour's the American Express, becoming the first amateur to win on the tour in 33 years since Phil Mickelson did it at the Tucson Open in 1991. It was called the Tucson Open back then. It's now called the Northern Trust. And he's the youngest to win on tour since 1910. Nick was born on December 23rd, 2003, in Huntsville, Alabama. He was homeschooled. He showed athletic prowess early on. He was a finalist in the NFL's punt, pass, and kick competition in 2013. At 12 years old, get this, ready for it? At 12 years old, he shot a 59 in a junior tournament that he went on to win by 13 strokes. He went on to the University of Alabama studying finance, which I don't know, for some reason seems appropriate, especially, I guess, as an aside, when you consider the fact by being an amateur and not taking the winner's check this past weekend, he bypassed $1,512,000. So in 2023, this is what I was promising. Get this. He won his first collegiate event. Did it as a freshman. He then went on to win the Northeast Amateur at Wanamoisett Country Club up in East Rumford, Rhode Island. He won the North and South Amateur, and then he won, of course, the U.S. Amateur in August. And get this, which shows you a player's mettle. He was 5 over par through his first 7 holes in stroke play and rallied to make the cut and then just continued his march to glory from there. In the third round this past week at the American Express, he shot a 60. That score tied Patrick Cantlay for the record for the lowest round on tour by an amateur. Cantlay did it in 2011 at the Travelers Championship. So it was interesting this past weekend because Nick Saban, the recently retired head football coach from Alabama, called into the Golf Channel broadcast to talk about what was so incredibly remarkable by what Nick was authoring right in front of our eyes. Saban said, quote, "I sat and watched one of those machines. He was hitting drivers. He must have hit 100 of them, just checking the spin on the ball. He's really a dedicated guy. He's a hard worker. He's got the right disposition to play. He doesn't get flustered about anything." And so, as one would be prone to do when you have a football coach of the renown of the success of Nick Saban, I started to ask him about, you know, more so mindset and character of a great athlete. And Nick Saban, who loves the game of golf, went on to say, "Golf's like a metaphor in life. You've got to be able to play your next shot. Whether you're in the hazard, whether you hit a good one, you've got to have the right disposition to play it. And I certainly think that he has it. Focus on the next shot, regardless of what happened on the last shot. Stay focused, not on the outcome, but what you have to do to get the outcome, which is a process to me. And I think that the best way is just to focus. We live in such an outcome-oriented world that sometimes that's hard to do, but I think that's the key to being successful." Really interesting stuff from Nick Saban. Let's find out about the interesting stuff, too, from Nick Dunlap. And I want to run through with you some of the questions that he was asked. He was asked about how special it is to see so many familiar faces while he was marching to what would be this victory. When he got the sponsor's exemption, was he thinking about a nice week in the desert with warm weather, or was he actually thinking about the chance to win? Did he question whether he would be able to handle the magnitude of the moment on Sunday? How were his nerves down the stretch? And was there anything he had to do to deal with the same? As a kid, did he dream about his golf life and what it would look like now as an adult at 20 years old and change? He was asked about whether he had made a decision about becoming a member of the PGA Tour. And they said, you know, you appeared pretty calm throughout the round. Were you? What emotions did you have? And what was it like when you finally had a chance to hug your family? Was it cathartic? He was asked, any homework to do tonight? Has he had a chance to check out his phone yet? How many text messages? I can tell you in retrospect, the news was over 700 and counting. Did he try to emulate anyone's swing when he was growing up? Where do you think your maturity comes from at such a young age? But we start with this. How does it feel to win on the PGA Tour?
It's definitely got a good ring to it. I will say that. But it's, you know, everything that I dreamed of, and just to have a chance in the last hole to win a PGA Tour event is really special. Honestly, just to see people that flew in today, and you know, I'd seen a couple of them kind of, you know, reach out and give me five, and the amount of people that came out and support me, and you know, and not only them, just the support I got from everybody here was really cool. The wonderful weather part was anticipated, and I got lucky with that. It's brutal back home, but just try to come here and learn. You know, I hadn't you know, been on this stage much, and you know, I got paired with Wilson the first day, so it was a really comfortable pairing as a past Alabama player, and then to play with those two guys today, and you know, the amount of success they've had out here is you know, it was cool just to watch. Of course, everybody's got doubts. You know, I probably had 1,000 different scenarios in my head of how today was going to go, and it went nothing like I expected. And I think that was the cool part about it. That's golf, and you know, I hit a lot of shots that I didn't think I was going to hit, and then you know, I hit some shots that went way better than I expected, and you know, the same thing with putting, and like I said, I just think that's the cool part of golf. No, I can't. I was so nervous that I don't know if I could have done anything. Most nervous I've ever been by far, and just try to breathe, but also look up and enjoy it a little bit. You know, I've said it numerous times today, and yesterday, and the past couple of days. It's a really cool spot to be in as an amateur, and just to be here and be given the opportunity to play, and you know, I don't ever want to, you know, forget today. I mean, that literally a chance to win a PGA Tour event. That's, you know, as a kid, you kind of whack it around all over the putting green and every putt's for a chance to win, whether that's a PGA Tour event, the Masters, the US Open. And to have that putt, you know, I took a little bit longer than I normally might. And just taking the moment and you know, nothing's for granted. I may not ever have that chance again. And I just want to embrace it. And you know, like I said, it may not ever happen again.
Have you made a decision on your PGA Tour membership if you want it now, or is that something you need to take more time to think about?
Oh boy. I did. I have no idea. I really don't. It's really cool to have that opportunity in the first place. And you know, starting the week, if you would have said, hey, in 5 days, you're going to have a PGA Tour card or an opportunity for 2 years, I'd have looked at you sideways. But no, that's a, you know, something that it doesn't just affect me. It affects a lot of people and, you know, and coach back there and my teammates. And, it's a conversation I need to have with a lot of people before I make that decision. I wish I had some kind of heart monitor on and, he wouldn't have seen that, but, yeah, most nervous I've ever been by far. Just try to breathe as much as I can, walk slow, try to do everything slow. And, you know, in that moment, everything speeds up. So I would say I've had a little bit of experience, you know, leading golf tournaments, but nothing to this extent. You know, obviously, you know, the PGA Tour is extremely different. So, you know, that whole process was different for me and something, whether that it had turned out the way I was looking or not, I was just going to try to learn from it. I lost it. I really did. You know, just for all of them to show up and, you know, fly all the way out here. I think I gave a couple of them excuse to get out of the bad weather, but, yeah, just to walk off the green and see everybody that showed up for me was, really special. I'll never forget it.
You got any homework to do tonight?
Yes. Probably won't do it though.
You had a chance to look at your phone and see what the numbers are looking like yet?
I haven't. I don't know if I want to. I haven't even looked at my phone. You know, a lot of the people that are really close to me are here, and that means a lot. And you know, I've got them. We're gonna probably go have a good dinner tonight and celebrate and focus on how I'm gonna get to Torrey Pines next week or for this coming week.
You're of the right age where maybe you would have watched a lot of YouTube videos of swings as a kid. I'm wondering if you did and who you gravitated to.
I think you'd be dumb not to say Tiger, right? I think I have maybe a little bit of a Dustin Johnson move through the ball. But no, I think everybody wanted to swing like Tiger. I mean, he's won however many times, however many majors, and, you know, if not the most success, he's, you know, one or two. But no, I always wanted to swing it like Tiger. I just couldn't. And every time I tried, I would probably mess it up.
And how about your incredibly mature bearing for someone who's 20 years old? Where do you think that comes from?
I think honestly playing with people older than me and playing with professionals and seeing how they carry themselves. You know, I was a little brat when I was younger and, you know, they kind of punked me into shape and, you know, I still have my moments, but, I think they did a really good job of pointing me in the right direction and, you know, to where I am today.
And after round two, you were discussing that you were in the back of the Sprinter van with your Alabama team. As a PGA Tour winner, does that move your spot in the van at all?
Maybe a seat forward. normally it goes based off of, you know, youngest to oldest. And, you know, I'm normally back in the back and see, well, I'll hit a speed bump and your head will hit the top of the ceiling. And then hopefully we'll see.
Nick Dunlap addressing the media after his historic victory at the American Express. And my hope for Nick is that whatever he decides to do, he's still going to be a prominent story. Don't get me wrong. If he decides to stay amateur, it's a big story. If he decides to turn professional, it's a big story. If he decides to dedicate himself to the PGA Tour, it's a big story. If, as some people were suggesting in social media, he gets offered and decides to go to LIV, it's going to be a big story. No matter what he decides to do, it's going to be a big story. But my hope is for him is that he doesn't get packaged. And what I mean by that is that I hope that the people that are around him, agents, et cetera, don't take Nick and put him in a pretty little box, and that's all we get. My hope is, like, I was looking at his Instagram account after the win, right? It's a lot of golf shots and all the rest. I think that we connect better with athletes today when the athletes and the people that are around them allow us a little bit into their life. I'm not suggesting anything that, you know, we shouldn't see, like their house or something like that, that they want to keep private. But I just mean, let us in a little bit. Let us know what you like, what you dislike. Where do you like to go to eat? You know, that, like, the video, what I'm talking about is, if you saw the video after his victory of, It looked like the Sugruta film. It was like jumping all around because everybody was cheering and all excited, all his buddies, for when he was marching to victory. That kind of stuff. Let us see the human side as well as the professional side, because we've gone through the decades of platitudes from professional athletes, and even in the world of golf, they've gotten very good at it. And what the general curve is, and now he's ahead of this curve, and I'm about to tell you, but what the general curve is when they're young, and if you want to say hungry, but when they're young, you get access to them, you get to know them, you know, they're willing to do whatever, features or interviews, but as they get more and more successful, they get more and more and more and more closed in, to a point that it's very difficult to get to know them outside the ropes at all. Because, frankly, they don't need to. So it's much easier for, you know, agents, et cetera, to say, I don't have to worry about you saying the wrong thing or anything else, because you're just not going to say anything. The interviews that you do will be very, very official. You'll do your press conferences, and press conferences at times, especially amongst some veterans, it becomes a bit of a dance, right, of what not to say. Now, having said all that, we've been fortunate over the last few years with the likes of, say, Jordan Spieth, just as an example. I think Colin Morikawa is really good. I think Justin Thomas is really good at it at times. Rory is good at it. Players will tell us what they're thinking, warts and all, which I like. You know my philosophy. My philosophy is, I don't care if you agree or disagree. You make up your own mind. That's your business. But at least give us the opportunity to hear from them, right? That's when it becomes really interesting to me. That's when it becomes really fun. So I got social media. I got some messages. There were some friends saying, hey, what about, you know, the Irish Golf Day? What, no photos? I got a couple of photos, Andrew. You can throw some of these up there. That was yesterday. That's Brendan O'Carroll in the middle. He's a huge international star. He's the guy that originated and stars in Mrs. Brown's Boys, that you guys that are watching is particularly outside the United States. Now, it's Ronnie Whelan behind him from Liverpool Football Club fame. And to the left, John McLaughlin's on the right in the blue jumper. John was the host along with Brendan Keough. John's from North and West Coast Links. He's the company that we use when we will be putting together a trip up to the north and west of Ireland for 2025. And then you see Brendan and Ronnie in the middle. And then I'm on the end. This was on the ninth hole. Guinness came out as one of the sponsors, and we're pouring Guinness right there. And I asked him, I said, because someone had told me that there was a new Guinness brewery around Baltimore, I believe. And he said, but they're not doing Guinness Stout. So this is still coming from Dublin, coming from Ireland. So there you go. That was some photos. There's another one. Put the other photo up I gave you, Andrew. Do you don't have it? I'll find that one, because Dom is here in the studio with me. Here, bring up Dom's normal shot that people are used to. This is Dom's lonely studio back in North Carolina. Just let it sit for a second so you can feel the sorrow. Now bring us back onto camera one here, Dom, Andrew, because Dom is here in the studio. Go ahead, Dom. Pop up. There you go, like a gopher. That is Dominic.
I made it.
I'm in the studio.
I've been relegated to the middle, though. He won't let me sit next to him.
Well, I don't have a mic run out there. Sorry, Dom, but you look great where you are. Did you do a question of the day for us today?
I did. The question is simple. Should Nick Dunlap turn professional? I think the answer is kind of obvious. Andrew, what's the current? It was like 90-something percent last time I looked. 77% yes. Who is saying?
23% of the people are saying no.
Who is saying no to this?
The spirit of Bobby Jones is kicking in.
Well, no, but we were talking about this on the air or off the air prior to coming on. Straight up, legit. What are the reasons to stay amateur for him at this point?
Only if he wants to. Hang out with his buddies, a few more years of college.
Yeah, but if you're making a list of pros and cons, like, I don't know how he's not, I don't know why you would not turn professional. I can't think of a long, I mean, you want to stay at Alabama, you want to enjoy team golf a little longer, okay. Maybe the family is, it's very important for him to get his college education. He can go back and get that. There's a lot of athletes that do that, right?
Yeah.
I can't think of a reason. I can't think of a real reason.
Rose Zhang is
going to
do it.
Well, I just can't think of a reason not to turn professional. So that's, what's the number at? 70 what?
77.
There's a lot of people making some weird decisions.
You're not influencing the vote at all. It's still 77%.
You vote whatever you want to vote.
Dominic, how did you enjoy the Irish golf day yesterday? Andrew, did you get that photo yet? Let's see. This is Dominic, the Irish golf day. Enjoying the locals.
He's working on it. I kind of like that wide shot there, Andrew, up at the top.
They can't see the wide shot.
I know. I'm telling them, yeah, look at that. That's better.
Oh there's Dominic. Walking with the locals. Who was that?
You know the Guinness that was being given out, what was that, the 10th hole, ninth
hole?
That
was the ninth hole, yeah.
Okay. On the 10th hole, she was giving out...
Jameson.
Yeah. That's who that was.
Yeah, John McLaughlin told me later on, he said it probably wasn't the best planning.
Yeah, they're back-to-back all.
That Guinness was on 9 and the Jameson was on 10. So it was a pretty bumpy turn for some people.
Well, for us, we started at 17. So we literally went all the way around and went 9, 10. So we were back-to-back on those holes. A couple guys in our group got, I think they started with the Guinness. And one guy didn't get the Jameson because he asked for two of the Guinness. So
that's good.
One in each cup holder.
Oh, so he didn't have
room.
And
then he got to the 10th and he was like, what the hell? What did I
know? I don't know how it happened, but when I got to the Jameson, he wants you to hold that mic a little closer.
Oh, is this bad?
When I got to the Jameson tent.
This is all different.
They were busy like taking care of somebody else. So I got to pour my own. And they had these huge bottles.
Of the Jameson.
Yeah, there was multiple huge bottles there. So I was able to enjoy it.
I had an incredible time. That's the first time I played in that particular event, and it was an absolute blast. And the golf course was difficult.
You know what? It was tough. You know what, Andrew? If you go to that wide shot again, as we direct Andrew on the fly, and take camera one, and you can zoom in on up here.
What's up there?
Yes. There's parts of the studio that people
He's moving the cameras around. That's why he's keeping it on the wide shot here.
There's parts of the studio that people have never seen.
Yeah, it's true. There you go.
That's our Jameson barrel.
That's an actual piece of one of the barrels, correct?
It is.
Yeah. That's not like made. That's not like a thing you make.
That's how
the studio,
we get through the show. When Dom's yelling at me, that's how it happens. Let's head back to the wide shot here for just a second, because I want to ask Dom a couple of questions.
This is not doing any favors for my baldness. I was super bald in North Carolina, and then I came down here thinking maybe the heat would grow some buds. But
well, we could try to fertilize it a little bit.
No, this is
but
no
at least
good.
At least you look nice and warm.
I am. This studio is colder than my studio. Unsurprisingly, because you have more equipment here than I do in mine. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to layer up today. And I'm glad I did.
There you go. Glad you did. We're heading to you're going off to Orange County Convention Center today to test all the lines and cameras and all that jazz that you want to take care of. We'll be heading off to the demo day, which I'm really looking forward to. I just wanted to get your thoughts on the week that lies ahead, because it's an incredible week. I love it, but I'm curious what your thoughts are.
I'm over the moon excited about it. I mean, every year this time comes, and it's an equal amount part stress and excitement. because it's a very long week, much longer for Matt than it is for us because of all the stuff he's doing with Golf Channel. You went through what you're doing on the show floor. I mean, the schedule, Andrew can throw some of that stuff up. It's just hours and hours and hours of coverage. And for those of you that don't know, Matt obviously is also doing stuff outside of those windows, right? We're recording some interviews, additional interviews that are outside of all those live windows. So it's hours and hours of coverage. It's a tremendous amount of planning. It's an incredible amount of work. But we also know that for you guys out there, the most important thing in your world is your golf equipment. And we're going to be able to tell you about what is coming out from every angle, every possible manufacturer, so you can make the right choice for you and get fit and go and get what you need, because they make product for everything now. Everything.
Oh, yeah.
Everything imaginable. Yeah. And it's all going to be there. The show floor is, I know the square mileage if you walk at all, but the reality is, Matt, if you go to the far end of it, of the convention center, and you stand by the driving range, there's some of it there. And even you can even get a sense of what I'm talking about when you look at that photo right there. That's from last year. When you stand at the far end, like if you're standing at that Titleist sign, looking back towards the other way, you cannot see the end. You understand? The horizon is still more show. You can't see the end of it.
It just starts a curve with the curvature.
I mean, seriously, from one end to the other, what, 3/4 of a mile? Might be more than that.
Well, it's just, it's a
insane.
Million square feet-ish.
It's insane. It takes huge. You 30 minutes to walk the floor, just to walk to one end. It's
one of
insane.
My favorite things about the PGA, go back to the shot you were just on, Andrew. One of my favorite things, you can see some of them on the right and left of this photo, folks, if you're listening
it's
to
incredible.
Us on the radio side, I'll explain. You can see custom golf carts. And I think that's so cool to see them. They have crazy, some of them now, you could get up to and surpass $20,000 or more buying a private custom golf cart. Can you imagine how that thing would be decked out? It is all there. So it all lies in store. The PGA week is upon us and cannot wait. When we come back here on the Fairways of Life show, Lydia Ko won the Hilton Grand Vacations Tournament of Champions, and Lydia Ko, with it, etched her 20th win on the LPGA. It admitted that for a time last year, she was questioning if she would ever win on the LPGA again. With everything that she's accomplished, can you imagine those voices of doubt were inside of her head? When we come back, you're going to hear from Lydia Ko and the Fairways of Life show presented by the PGA Tour Superstore. They are the number one golf retailer from coast to coast. Find your happy place.
Relax. Easy now. Find your happy place. The PGA Tour Superstore. It's all in the hips. Where every swing is possible. Just tap it in.
Yes!
Find all the latest gear, apparel, and personalized club fittings.
Is this goodbye?
We've only just begun.
Shop with the pros at Golf's Happy Place, the PGA Tour Superstore.
In Ireland, golf is more than just a game. Come and experience our world-famous links courses and our world-famous parkland courses, all set alongside world-famous scenery. And visit our world-famous historic sites. And while you're here, enjoy our world-famous hospitality. Fill your heart with Ireland at ireland.com/golf.
It screams. It tracks. It's soft. It reacts. It is the Bridgestone Tour B with a game-changing reactive cover designed to spring faster off your driver and stick longer to your wedges. Try Bridgestone's Tour Bs, the Tour Ball reinvented.
The Gen 6 iron is a culmination of everything that we have learned as a team, the absolute best golf club I have ever hit. It's something special. Say hello to the new PXG Gen 6 iron. The longest, most accurate irons we've ever made. They go higher and farther than any iron that I have hit to date, and they're so easy to hit. Super excited for the consumer to try this. They're gonna love them.
PXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, period.
Baseball? Nah. Football? Done it. I think I'm gonna go after the PGA Tour.
Bo, you're gonna need the right equipment company.
I think I got that.
You know, Tour Edge backs all their clubs with a lifetime warranty.
I know.
They ship all their premium custom clubs in 48 hours.
I know.
All their premium clubs are hand-built in the USA.
I know.
You know, Tour Edge has won 35 times out here.
Guys, I know.
Pound for pound, nothing comes close.
Boyne Golf provides the ultimate world-class golf destination with 10 championship-caliber courses spanning three resorts. Centered in Michigan's northern Lower Peninsula, the courses are the products of some of the game's masters, including Robert Trent Jones Sr., Arthur Hills, and Donald Ross. From the all-inclusive vacation packages, elite instruction with the Boyne Golf Academy, tournaments, and so much more, Boyne Golf truly offers an unrivaled Michigan golf vacation experience. Just log on to BoyneGolf.com.
It's pretty cool. I think in ways I was very deliberate about my alarms and, you know, my routine. I think when you are comfortable, you sometimes just go about, you know, your day just like any other day. I think this is a great and comfortable way to start the season. Now, I haven't played particularly that great at this event before. So to kind of go in with a two-shot lead going into today was a little bit of a comfort cushion to rely on. But I knew that it was going to be windy today, and obviously the cold was going to be a big factor. So nobody was going to shoot like super low scores. So I just tried to be really steady, and I'm sure I am 100% certain there were nerves coming down the stretch, but I felt like I tried to stay as patient as I can. And you know, Paul was a big help in saying like, hey, just breathe and like, you know, keep the conversations going. You know, it's I thought I would cry, but then I'm like, nothing's coming out. So I don't even know what that means. But I remember it last year in Portland. I think it was only my second event working with Paul, and Paul, I missed a cut, and I was like, hey, I'm sorry, you know, because obviously I want to play the weekend, and you know, it hasn't been long, and you don't want to kind of set a bad momentum just for the team. And he was like, hey, you know, this is just gonna make winning sweeter, and I think that's so true. And you know, as much as the season was not the way that I would have wanted going into 2023, I felt like I still finished really strong, and that gave me good momentum to this year. And just like how 2022 was an unbelievable year and 2023 was a huge question mark, like you can turn it around really quick, and golf is a weird game like that where you could honestly miss eight cuts and win them next week. I think Shanti also did that last year, winning in Portland. So it's just, it's odd. I think there is no right answer for the game of golf, but I'm just gonna keep working at it. And I think in ways it's really good that I'm playing next week so that I'm not like sitting on like the excitement and just of the win, and I can just kind of keep working on my game and go from there. I cry a lot, yeah. would be something, yeah, that I learned. I'm like, man, I got to get the faucet to like stop, you know, stop crying. My mom says that too. She's like, you cry a lot. But it's just, I guess, like last year was hard because, you know, I won in Saudi, which was my first event of the season. And then I thought I would ride the high and hit a top 10 in Thailand, but my ball striking started not being as solid from there onwards. And I think missing the cut at Chevron, I almost, yeah, you know, it sucks to not be able to play the weekend, but I think I took it as like too big of a deal. And I think so many great things happened that it hit me a lot harder, and maybe it might have been better if I had just been a little bit more level-headed and was like, hey, this is just not my week, and I just got to focus on, you know, what are the things that I need to get better at. But I think I was so impacted just by the result, and I think that's what led me to like a few months of honestly struggling and feeling like I'm walking on quicksand. But you know, having, you know, one under par round and then two, and then backing it up with another under par round the next day, I think those all, like those small things really mattered. And you know, I think that's just taking small wins is such an important thing when we're out there. Honestly, I don't think it takes much to get you to a point where you're unsure if you're going to win. You know, I'm playing alongside the best female golfers week in, week out, and you know that your B game is probably not going to cut it. You know, you need to put 4 solid rounds and then, hey, you might be in contention or be around the top of the leaderboard. So it's just, I think when things don't go your way and you feel like you've put in the right work, but the results don't show, then you kind of start to wonder, like, is my time ever going to come? But, you know, that thought has come across my mind before. You know, it's, I guess, winning in Hawaii. It was my first win in 3 years. And I'm pretty sure in those 3 years and even in 2020, where I had a lot of top 10s, I still wondered, oh, maybe like I'm only just going to have top 10s, like, you know, that might be the highest place I get to. But when you win, I think it definitely gives you a sense of relief, and just to say, hey, I can do it. But it's there's no, I think, way around thinking that it's easy to win. I think, you know, golf is kind of, we were actually joking about it, like golf seems like it's one of the random sports, only sports where like random people think, oh, I could totally beat her, or like I could like totally, like if I played on tour, I would win like 3 times in a season. I said, nobody's probably doing that about like hitting home runs or like, you know, being All-Star champion or like in other things, but golf in ways, because it is so relatable, I think people think that it's easy, but it's not. And, you know, in my 10, 11 years, I've seen the tour grown so much and the level of play is so high that to be able to win like a week like today is, it's just, it's pretty cool. But you know that you've got to keep pushing yourself to your limits and keep working hard, because, you know, none of it comes easy. You know, I think whenever the announcer on the tee like says, hey, you know, Lydia Ko, 19-time winner on the LPGA, I'm like, whoa, I won 19 times? That's like, that's really cool. But then like to have the first number change, that's really awesome. And to be only part of the small group that has won more than 20 times is, to be in that 20 club is really cool. But it's just, I think last year I was chasing the Hall of Fame. I felt like I could have, with the way I was playing in 2022, I could back it up with another great year, but look where it put me. I just kept my card if, you know, I hadn't won like the year before. But so I'm not really gonna think about it much, but you know, I think we're all human. Like to say that it's not gonna linger, like next time I'm in contention, it'll be like, oh my God, if I actually do this, I'm gonna be in the Hall of Fame. I'm sure that's going to be one of the gazillion voices that's in my head, but I just got to strive to be the best golfer I can. And if that leads me, and if my career leads me to becoming a Hall of Famer, it's awesome, because, you know, I'm just a South Korean born Kiwi that was playing this game of golf, and who knew that I'd be here standing here and, you know, have played in the Olympics and have won on our tour.
Lydia Ko, after her victory at the Hilton Grand Vacations Tournament of Champions, congratulations for earning her way back into the victory circle on the LPGA. There you see it, 20th LPGA Tour victory. She talked about what it was like joining that club, as she called it, 2016 Chevron Championship. She won the 2015 Evian Championship. She also won, so thus a multiple-time major champion at 26 years old with over 100 top 10s. Could this be the year that she adds to her major championship tally? When we come back on the Fairways of Life show, we are going to celebrate the life of an absolute legend. Stay with us.
I guess, hello world, huh?
And with one subtle hello, Tiger began an amazing and unthinkable career.
I've done it for 20 years now with Bridgestone. It allows me to play an aggressive style around the greens, and it's allowed me to win a lot of tournaments.
Bridgestone Golf, proud to be part of of your journey.
Boyne Golf provides the ultimate world-class golf destination with 10 championship-caliber courses spanning three resorts. Centered in Michigan's northern Lower Peninsula, the courses are the products of some of the game's masters, including Robert Trent Jones Sr., Arthur Hills, and Donald Ross. From the all-inclusive vacation packages, elite instruction with the Boyne Golf Academy, tournaments, and so much more, Boyne Golf truly offers an unrivaled Michigan golf vacation experience. Just log on to BoyneGolf.com.
I think when you're training for other sports or why most people go to the gym is so that they can like have muscles and, you know, be strong and be healthy. And a lot of the reason why they struggle to play golf is their body doesn't move properly for them to be able to hit a golf ball. And when you're training for golf, it's a little bit different because you're focused more on flexibility and mobility and being strong in motion. When you're able to kind of have a warm up and have a workout routine and kind of gradually build up to where you're training your body to move properly, yeah, you're going to get a lot of big dividends on the golf course.
Relax. Easy now. Find your happy place. The PGA Tour Superstore. It's all in the hips. Where every swing is possible. Just tap it in.
Yes!
Find all the latest gear, apparel, and personalized club fittings.
Is this goodbye?
We've only just begun.
Shop with the pros at Golf's Happy Place, the PGA Tour Superstore.
What if we started a company and the company was under no time constraints, no financial constraints? The one constraint is their clubs had to be exceptional performers and much better than any other alternative. I was told time and again, it'll never work. It worked like a house of fire. And I'll tell you what, I think our customers love it. BXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, period.
Zero Friction introduces the Wheel Pro Push Cart Golf Bag with its revolutionary 3-in-1 design, supportive legs that spring into action, a comfort grip handle with 3 locking positions, accessories for the modern golfer enhanced by 7 pockets for more storage, and removable all-terrain wheels which slide right into place. The new Zero Friction Wheel Pro Golf Bag checks every box for every golfer. Push, carry, or cart, the decision is yours thanks to Zero Friction. Head to ZeroFriction.com today. As we welcome you back to the Fairways of Life show, pleasure to have your company. You know, I don't always know about it. I don't see it. But we happened in the break to, I overheard Andrew telling Dom that one of our loyal engagers, NBT3 on the Fairways of Life discussion board, shared that his mother passed away and how he just wanted to spend time with others on the discussion board. And from what the guys tell me, there is a tremendous amount of regularity with the people that are on there. And to that, first of all, thank you. But to NBT3, we are thinking about you in a virtual hug sent out to you and wishing you the very, very best. This week, the game of golf lost an absolute legend in the passing of Jackie Burke Jr., a member of the World Golf Hall of Fame. Jackie Burke Jr., passed at 100 years on this earth, just short of 101, believe it or not, a member of the World Golf Hall of Fame. He was inducted in the year 2000. During the Second World War, he joined the Marines. Ironically and sadly, his father died when he was serving in the Marines during the Second World War. And one of the things that very few people realize about Jackie Burke was that his assignment during the war years was to teach combat skills. And to that, he said, well, they asked me to help with teaching martial arts because as a golfer, I'm familiar with timing and balance, and both are very important. I'd been instructing golf my whole life. My dad had taught me how to teach. So teaching those other things was not a problem, close quote. And to that point, one of the things that Jackie Burke Jr. was always known for was his wit that he had right up to the last. And he talked about this philosophy. And again, this is a multiple time major champion, a guy that won 16 times on the PGA Tour. He had this philosophy that kind of cut through any of the gray area. And I'll give you an example of a philosophy that I had. This is a direct quote from Jackie Burke. He said, when a primitive hunter threw a spear at his prey, you better believe he followed through and finished with his weight on his left foot. Reverse pivots in the jungle could be fatal. That saber-toothed tiger would eat you. Any throwing motion requires a weight shift to the left. Stone Age man realized that. Millions of years later, poor golfers do not. Close quote. The great Jackie Burke. Here is a great tribute to the man, this courtesy of Golf Channel and Rich Lerner.
Jack Burke Jr., Jackie to his many friends, knew them all. So many of the legends of golf, entertainment, and sport over the last century. They wanted to be in his company because of his wit, intellect, and honesty. Jackie Burke had plenty to say, and people listened, oftentimes around a lunch table or on the range at his renowned Houston Golf Club. Burke was born in Fort Worth, Texas in 1923 and born of an era when tour pros held down jobs as club professionals. His father, Jack Sr., a runner-up at the 1920 U.S. Open, was club pro at Houston's River Oaks Country Club. Jack Jr. grew up watching his father give lessons to legends like Babe Zaharias and Henry Pickard. He sharpened the gambler's sense that later served him well as a pro by shooting dice as a 9-year-old in the caddy yard and playing money games as a teenager. And when Jack Sr. hired a young professional named Jimmy DeMeritt to teach his son, Jr. added polish to his game. They forged a lasting relationship, and years later, in 1957, Burke and DeMeritt co-founded Champions Golf Club.
I putt good when I play with DeMeritt. I would just watch his stroke and copy it and always
do
it.
Yeah, you copied that thing. I had to copy it.
Jack Jr. turned professional at 17 and then served in the Marines in World War II. After the service, he took a job as an assistant at Wingfoot Golf Club in New York. There, he was mentored by the quintessential PGA professional, Claude Harmon, the 1948 Masters champion.
Jackie Burke pulled up from nowhere and clinched a playoff win with this putt on number 11. That has to be one of the greatest putts in golfing history.
He won four times in 1950, five more in 52, including four in a row, taking the Vardon Trophy for low scoring average. In 1956, he won the first televised Masters, coming from eight back to overtake the great amateur Ken Venturi. Later that season, adding the PGA Championship.
Jackie sinks it to win 3-2.
The last of his 16 PGA Tour victories came in 1963. He played on every Ryder Cup team through the 1950s, serving as the playing captain in 1957, then as non-playing captain in 1973.
I've got some guys behind me that are just the most unbelievable golf players that our country's ever produced. They had 2 days practice here, and I just don't know how they won.
His Champions Golf Club in Houston actually hosted the 1967 Ryder Cup, as well as the 1969 U.S. Open won by Orville Moody.
Jimmy and I never have been fortunate enough to win it, so I guess the next best thing is to host it.
Burke was inducted into the World Golf Hall of Fame in 2000, received the PGA Tour Lifetime Achievement Award in 2003, and the USGA's Bob Jones Award in 2004. But those who knew Burke will long remember his charitable side and his character more than the accolades and achievements.
That's perfect.
A stickler for the rules in golf, in business, and in life, forever old school, Burke also once famously said, Jimmy DeMeritt and I had the best sports psychologist in the world. His name was Jack Daniels, and he was waiting for us after every round. Said Ben Crenshaw, there's no one like Jack Burke Jr., one of the funniest men around. So full of wisdom and spirit.
Excellent piece by Rich Lerner. Thank you to Golf Channel for that. You know, one of the things that I talk about often with the game of golf is that there are people, there are players who are bridges to former generations, golden eras in the game, if you will. And certainly during the 1950s, that was one of the golden ages of the game, in my opinion, because of Byron Nelson, because of Sam Snead, because certainly Ben Hogan and all the great players that were playing during that time. And through this show over the years, we have had the chance to meet and talk with many competitors who were right in the middle of the fray during the 1950s and into the early 1960s. And I've described it oftentimes as like a bar fight. It was rough and it was tumble. There was no guaranteed pathways at that time. You literally ate what you could hunt. And Jackie Burke was amongst those that hunted very, very well indeed, not only on the golf course, but in the world of business and in the world of imparting his talents and gifts to others through teaching the game for decades and decades. It is a loss for the game of golf. It is a loss for the world at large, but it was a treat indeed to have Jackie Burke amongst us for so very, very long. Farewell to Jackie Burke Jr. Thank you to all of you for your company today. As mentioned, we are on our way out to Demo Day at Orange County National. Catch us on Golf Channel coming up in just a little while. We'll be back here again tomorrow with you, only the here will be inside of the Orange County Convention Center for the PGA Show from 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Until then, be well. Goodbye for now.